Chapter 6. Thursday, October 4th, and Friday, October 5th.
Bronwyn. Thursday, 12:20 p.m. I'm in the cafeteria at lunchtime when the normal noise around me changes. Suddenly, everyone's looking at their phones, and before I can look at mine, heads are turning toward me. "Oh," Maeve says, "it's a new Tumblr post. Here." I take her phone and start to read. "This is the first time that good girl BR has been mentioned. It's the post the detective showed me at the police station. All the posts are there. And there's an extra note at the bottom of the screen. Did you think I was joking about killing Simon? Just read the posts he was about to publish. You can see that everyone in the detention had a reason to kill Simon. Now, start thinking. Are they all working together? Or is somebody tricking them? I'll just tell you one more thing. Everyone is lying." Maeve says angrily, "I bet I could hack into this stupid app and find out who's doing this." "Maeve, no," I say. And she's starting to answer me, still angry, when there's an announcement on the loudspeaker asking me, Cooper, Nate, and Addie to go to Principal Gupta's office. So I escape from the cafeteria. Of course, Principal Gupta has seen the new Tumblr post. She tells us we are safe in her office, so if there's anything we want to tell her, this is a good time to do it. We all look at each other, but no one answers. I want to say something, to explain things, but I feel Nate's hand taking mine under the table and see him shake his head. The door opens, and the secretary apologizes, asking Principal Gupta if she can come for a moment. We sit in silence after she's left. Then we start to talk about how everyone suspects we did it, about how many people hated Simon, about Aiden Wu, who was so ill that he never came back to Bayview after Simon posted about him dressing as a woman, about Leia Jackson, who Cooper remembers talking to on the day of the memorial service. Nate says it sounds as if most people in the school have a reason to have a bottle of peanut oil in their backpacks. "Not just any peanut oil," says Addie. "It has to be the expensive cold-pressed kind for someone to have an allergic reaction to it." "How do you know that?" says Nate. "I saw it on a food program," she replies. "I guess you shouldn't tell Principal Gupta that," Nate says. And Addie grins a bit. Nate calls me like he's done every night since Monday, and we talk and talk. He tells me about his mom's drug problem, and I tell him about Maeve's cancer, and we watch the same movie on our phones.
Cooper, Friday, 3:30 p.m. When I get home from school, Nani calls me into the kitchen. She came to live with us when we moved here. In fact, she helped Mom and Pop buy this house so we could move here and I could go to Bayview and play baseball all year round. She gives me a chocolate bar, opens one for herself, and says, "How's Keely feeling about this?" I answer without thinking, "Oh, she wants to wrap herself around me all the time, like she usually does." Then, I feel terrible. "Cooper," Nani takes hold of one of my hands. "Keely is a beautiful, sweet girl. But if she isn't who you love, that's fine." My heart is jumping. "I don't know what you mean." "I mean, Cooper, that I've been in the room when you get a text from Keely, and you always look like you want to escape. Then there's someone who calls who you don't want to escape from. Do something about this, Cooper. It isn't fair on you or Keely." She smiles kindly and lets go of my hand.
Nate, 11:30 p.m. When I get back from a party at Amber's house, I call Bronwyn and we continue talking. I've told her about my mom being depressed and about my dad's drinking. We're choosing a film each night to watch on our phones. She suddenly says, "I've got half an hour left on the phone." Those phones have hundreds of minutes on them, and she's had this one less than a week. I hadn't realized we talked so much. Okay, I say. Let's stop now, and I'll text you tomorrow about getting another phone to you.